Put back in my hand, Felicia, right in the mug. A Miles Plumlee.
Throw it.
Oh my!
Down,
man. Throw it down.
This is Chicago Bulls Live. And now here's Steve Cashel.
And welcome in, everyone, to Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890, our weekly program inside the world of Chicago Bulls basketball and the NBA. I'm Steve Cashel. Tonight on the show, we're going to have, among other things, some interesting conversation with Scottie Pippen, Sam Smith, the Hall of Fame writer, among others. But we begin with an outstanding NBA writer from NBA.com, senior columnist Steve Ashburner. Steve, thanks for joining us here on Chicago Bulls Live on this Saturday night. And let's talk first, if we can, Steve, about the Chicago Bulls. Boy, it's been a struggle. Of course, the long losing skid. But kind of to be expected, right? I feel like these guys aren't getting down because they know that it's a rebuild. Are you reading it that way?
Well, I think that probably helps in a warped sort of way, Steve. I think that the expectations of the locker room have probably been tamped down by the expectations, you know, at the macro level of, you know, we're going to take lumps this season with the idea that it will enhance draft position, which will eventually bring in talent that will get this team, you know, moving up and in the direction that that the fans and the front office both presumably want. It's a funky way, I would think, for players to go through a season because, you know, they're conditioned to try to win games. I don't think that changes just because they're with a team that's rebuilding. So they're going to do what they can, but I think it's in between the games where, you know, you don't get maybe the frustration. You also don't get maybe the ambition that you would normally expect in a competitive environment. So I think it's kind of a delicate, you know, or at least a fine line to walk for an organization between developing good habits and the right mindset with weathering the kind of disappointment and setbacks and I don't want to say frustration because, you know, we're just saying why there would not be so much frustration. So just sort of the results that seem inevitable. You know, and that's the thing. In a competitive environment, you think you can win. If you don't win, well, you think you can win the next game. And it just seems like when you set out to rebuild, you're not going for 40 victories. You're not going for 30 victories. So there's a whole bunch of losses that are going to be inevitable. And that, to me, is the trick of this season for the Bulls.
But don't you think, Steve, visiting with Steve Ashburner from NBA.com, the best is yet to come, I think, something to look forward to once you get Nico Mirotic playing full-time. And then, you know what, I think it's going to wind up being their best player is Zach LaVine, right? And he's back in January, it looks like.
Yep, that's right. And, you know, I mean, that's a mixed blessing in this sort of environment. I think fans can revel in watching some players develop and make an impression. But you wonder what would happen if it started to gel too soon. I mean, that's the thing. They have to almost make sure that they're in good lottery position before they take take the leashes off, you know, any guys in terms of playing time or opportunities. So, yeah, I mean, this to me is almost like, I've long said that there are two different kinds of NBA fans. There are the people that follow the games and the seasons, and there are the people that pretty much follow the off season and the drafts. And it's always about the next guy that they can get in and how they can improve the roster. And, you know, the draft is such a big part of that. So, you know, this is a season that gets played with that second kind of outlook in mind. And, you can hope that you see the best of Nico Mirotic when he's back. I mean, people have been waiting for that here for a while, and they've seen flashes of it. You want to see the Zach LaVine who excited the folks in Minnesota, and you just have to sort of separate that from that's going to beat you know, Utah on a given night. I mean, that, you know, that has to be in a separate category almost.
Visiting with Steve Ashburner, senior writer from NBA.com. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live. Steve, final question on the Bulls. How do we measure a trade? How do you measure a trade? I mean, so far to me, trading Jimmy Butler, who worked his way into probably being one of the top 10, 15 players in the NBA. Congratulations to Jimmy, but he's in Minnesota now. We got three really good players on potential. Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, and Lauri Markkanen, who's been a terrific rookie so far. So successful trade already, or how do you measure it? When do you measure it?
Well, you know, this one has a chance to be one of those classic trades that helps both teams. I wrote a feature last week about Markkanen and Chris Dunn, two-thirds of that package that the Bulls got back. And, you know, that made total sense, the move. I mean, Jimmy was not going to fit here where they felt they needed to go. He wasn't going to be enough to bring, you know, to carry the team. You know, at the time, even if you were critical of the deal and you thought, well, they're going to end up needing an all-star eventually. But the fact is, I mean, his clock's ticking. And by the time he has the homegrown supporting cast, you know, he might be past his prime. So it seemed like he fit exactly what Minnesota needed in terms of a ready-made superstar to put around some really talented, ready-to-go young guys. And what they got back from Minnesota was what the Bulls needed, was talent with a longer term, where they have to do, you know, go through their growing pains now for a while before they're able to win. So I think it can work out well for both teams. I think that Markkanen, who basically took the opportunity that was provided when Bobby Portis hit Nico Mirotic and put both those guys sort of out of the rotation for a spell. And now Markkanen has been in there for, you know, a good long time and shown enough to, I think, be a, I'll be stunned if he's not in the rookie sophomore game at All-Star weekend. And, you know, he'll attract some votes on the ballots and Rookie of the Year, I would think, if he continues the way he's played. Dunn, more recently, has shown, I think, a level of play and a confidence that should be encouraging, a big step up from his first year in Minnesota. And then Zach LaVine, you have no reason other than, you know, concerns about his full recovery from the ACL. You have no other reasons than that to think that he can't make a big impact with his athleticism. So, no, I think they're good pieces. And this may, you know, by the time Jimmy is sort of on the back nine, people might start looking and say that the Bulls won that trade. I think right now it's just, you know, the best way to evaluate it is it could end up being just right for both.
Absolutely. Steve Ashburner, our guest from NBA.com. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live. Around the NBA, Steve, what surprised you so far? Is it Boston getting off the great record and their consecutive win streak that they built? I mean, Cleveland's been on one themselves. But the Kyrie Irving trade to me for Isaiah Thomas, wow, how did the Celtics ever get Kyrie, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, people can say what they want about Kyrie, and he seemed headstrong, and he seemed a little bit, you know, the prima donna and wanting to get out of LeBron James' shadow. But, I mean, he is a tremendous offensive player. He's a great finisher around the rim, a creative shot maker, and Boston was fortunate to get him. I think that they won that deal. We just talked about deals and who wins them. But I'm most surprised by Boston not sort of sinking like a stone after Gordon Hayward, you know, his season ended in the first 5 minutes of 2017-18. And he was a big acquisition for the Celtics as well. And you thought, well, you know, that's it for them. I mean, that's such a blow mentally. And they have, you know, they've thrived in his absence, not because he's gone, but in spite of it. And I think it sort of changed the whole complexion of the Eastern Conference. I think the conference is more interesting. You know, people were just sort of conceding that to Cleveland, and I still think Cleveland will be the team that goes to the finals out of the East, but I think there's a lot of potential for some interesting matchups in the playoffs, and I think that the regular season in the East at least holds more interest than we might have figured.
Great stuff, Steve. I really appreciate you joining us here on Chicago Bulls Live.
Anytime, Steve.
All righty. That's Steve Ashburner, outstanding columnist with NBA.com. When we come back, an interview with Windy City Bulls president Brad Seymour. Stay with us on Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890.
News, traffic, and weather are just moments away at the bottom of the hour on WLS AM 890.
Hi, this is Connor McKnight, and you can join me for White Sox Weekly Sunday at noon. We'll talk to Kannapolis Intimidators manager Justin Jerschele. The White Sox named him Minor League Manager of the Year. That's Sunday at noon on WLS AM 890.
Welcome back, everyone. The Chicago Bulls Live on this Saturday night. Our next guest talking about the Windy City Bulls. It's Brad Seymour, the president of our Windy City Bulls, part of the G League now. And Brad, how are you?
Hey, good. Thanks for calling, Steve, and glad to be part of the show today.
Well, let's begin by talking about Antonio Blakeney. I guess as part of his two-way designation, he was called up by the Bulls, scoring 16 points in his first NBA action against the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I guess this performance came on the heels of him putting up big numbers for Windy City. Now, what was your reaction to seeing Antonio have such an immediate impact right away? And then, I guess on Wednesday night, 46 points in a game for you guys, right?
Yeah, every time he takes the court with us, he's like a human highlight film, and certainly worth the price of admission, you know, to put a cliche out there. But it's been so great to see him, go up and down with Chicago, but when he's up with Chicago, get some great playing time and really prove, you know, that he belongs at the NBA level. Certainly he's getting a lot more minutes when he's playing with Windy City, but it really validates how great of a player he is, and really to a larger extent validates how great our league is, that you have somebody of that talent, who's knocking at the door of the NBA, is getting the opportunity to play and play very well with us. But when he goes up, certainly holding his own, and it's been a thrill to see him do well when he's with Chicago. But then, yeah, when he comes back like he did on Wednesday, scoring 46 points, broke our franchise record for the second time this season for individual points in a game. And really, as I said, just puts on a show. So it's fun to see a guy like that develop as the season goes along. And like I said, hold his own when he's in Chicago.
Brad Seymour, our guest here, president of the Windy City Bulls. I'm Steve Cash with Chicago Bulls Live. And hey, Brad, people are going to start looking to see when is Antonio Blakeney going to be with the Windy City Bulls, right? I mean, you put up numbers like that, he becomes a big crowd favorite.
Absolutely. You know, he already has, you know, he's making a name for himself, and the fans are recognizing that they're watching a special talent. And so he rises up to that. And, you know, like he did on Wednesday, we had a morning game that day, and we had a couple thousand students out there. And, you know, to see a player like that up close, especially for youngsters, it's a thrill for them. And he did that in three quarters. He sat in the fourth quarter. So it just shows you again what kind of talent he is. And, you know, a lot of credit to the Bulls basketball guys to identify somebody like that, bring him in on a two-way contract, and really give him an opportunity to prove himself and again, make his way to the NBA level, but then give him a lot of playing time in the G League.
Yeah, we saw him in the summer. And get ready for the Antonio Blakeney bobblehead night, right, or something. You got to think about that.
Absolutely. He continues doing this. There's no doubt we'll have one next year.
That's great. Busy with Brad Seymour, president of the Windy City Bulls. Hey, Brad, now, as part of their respective rehab, two other guys on the big roster, Zach LaVine, Nico Mirotic, have been practicing with your Windy City team in the last week, and Kay Felder was sent to play with you guys as well on Wednesday. Do these assignments, tell us how they come about and how much of a trend this is becoming in the NBA.
Well, it really is becoming a trend, and really it's what you see in baseball and what's gone on in baseball for many, many years, where guys will rehab their way back from an injury. And so Zach and Nico were assigned to practice with us while Chicago was on the road. And, you know, rather than have them travel, maybe do some pregame shoot around, they got in a couple of days of very hard practice. Zach did again on Thursday this week with us. And so it serves a dual purpose. A, it gives these guys the opportunity to go up against some good competition. But then on the flip side for our guys, we bring the team down to the Advocate Center. And so they're able to practice and be around an NBA environment when we are having those guys practice with us. But Around the league, you're starting to see more and more of this. Just last week, or a week and a half ago, former Bull Joakim Noah actually, as part of his rehab assignment, played a game in Westchester. You saw Tony Parker during the preseason down in San Antonio practice with the Austin team. So certainly proximity plays a big part, and we are in as good a situation as any team in the G League. And, you know, being 25, 30 miles from the big club, it's very easy to send guys back and forth. And especially for the NBA guys, to have the opportunity as part of their rehab to practice and go hard against some top level talent as part of their working their way back to the NBA. It's going to be something that we're going to see more and more of.
That's fun stuff. Visiting again with president of the Windy City Bulls, Brad Seymour, Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. Now, there are a number of interesting promotional nights throughout the season for the Windy City Bulls, including Education Day and Lego Night, which took place last week. Now, 1 week from tonight, Windy City is hosting Star Wars Night with a special jersey auction. Brad, tell us more about the jerseys and where people can bid on these.
Yeah, absolutely. We're celebrating the latest incarnation of the Star Wars movie, and similar to what Chicago is doing with their Star Wars night, we're going to be hosting characters and having a lot of fun a week from tonight. But one of the cool things about it is, as part of our agreement with Lucasfilm, there's going to be a beneficiary, and so we'll auction off Star Wars themed jerseys from each of our players. They won't wear them in the game, but they'll be autographed by the players. People will have the opportunity to bid on these jerseys. All the proceeds are going to go to the Little City Foundation. So it's part of one of the many ways that we work with local organizations to raise needed funds, whether it be a ticket fundraiser or, in this case, hosting an auction in-game. And actually, it's going to be the bidding's available on our website, WindyCityBulls.com, in advance. But some really cool designs. I know the players are excited to see them. And, you know, and the opportunity to raise some money is obviously the most important thing. But, you know, just another in a long line of great promotions that we have lined up this year.
Brad Seymour, guest president of the Windy City Bulls. Okay, Brad, now I heard you hosted the first of three Dynasty Nights last month with the Windy City Bulls, in which you're celebrating the Chicago Bulls championship seasons. Fans had a chance to view memorabilia from the 1992-93 season, which was their third championship, and also meet Bulls legend Horace Grant. Now, I understand there are two more Dynasty Nights planned with more big things in store?
Yeah, this has become a really cool series for us. And so last month we had Horace out, and as you mentioned, the great memorabilia, the rare memorabilia. This is stuff that, you know, is in the storage closet, so to speak, at the United Center, and people don't get to see this stuff. So we pulled it out for that night. And then in February, we're inviting Ron Harper, who's going to make an appearance. He'll sign autographs for fans and, you know, take photos, and we'll have some more memorabilia on display. We'll certainly have the trophy as we celebrate the 20th anniversary of the 1997-98 championship. And then we'll cap it off this year in March when we have Tony Kukoc out and all six championship trophies. And again, some more of the just rare memorabilia from the Bulls archives that'll be on display that people will be able to get up close to and take pictures with and really, have the chance to see some of the stuff that hasn't seen the light of day, so to speak, since when the Bulls were winning those championships. So a really neat theme that we've carried throughout the season. And, you know, I expect as we move into future years, we'll continue to invite former Bulls alumni back to these games. And, you know, they enjoy it just as much as our fans, getting to, you know, relive those awesome memories and be around, these celebrations that we've put together. So a lot of fun and certainly a lot more in store as we work through the second half of the season.
Finally, Brad, best way for fans to get tickets?
WindyCityBulls.com. That's where all the information, everything we're talking about tonight, player information, but certainly promotional and ticket information, everything you can find at WindyCityBulls.com.
Congratulations. Continued success, Brad. Fun times
right
out there with the Windy City Bulls.
Yes, thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate you having us on.
You got it. Brad Seymour, president of the Windy City Bulls. When we return, an interview with six-time NBA world champion Scottie Pippen. Stay with us on WLS AM 890.
WLS AM 890, where you hear news, traffic, weather at the top and bottom of every hour, every day. Now back to Chicago Bulls Live.
Don't stop.
And we're back on Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. Back on Monday night when the Bulls took on LeBron James, Kevin Love, Dwayne Wade, and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I had a chance to visit with six-time NBA world champion, his banner hanging proudly from atop the United Center, Scottie Pippen. Let's take a listen in to that interview.
I'm going to call him Scottie LA now. He's Scottie Pippen, six-time NBA world champion. His banner hangs proudly here at the United Center. He's got the statue out. It's great to see you, Scottie.
Thanks, Steve. It's always a pleasure to be alongside of you.
Oh, yeah. We miss you every day here in Chicago. As I know you're doing the jump, the show on ESPN. It's great.
Yeah, it's great. You know, I'm doing a little stuff with ESPN and, you know, Chicago is still my home, but, you know, I'm living in L.A. now.
All righty. Well, it's great to see you here at the United Center for the Bulls and Cavs tonight. The Bulls are going through this rebuild, Scottie. You know that. How did you guys grow together? I don't know if you've ever been part of rebuilds, but you obviously had to put it together with Michael and Horace back in the day, right? What was the key to building that thing up?
Well, I think as an individual, you just got to work hard, and you got to realize that every day is an off season for you, and you go through some aches and pains throughout the season, losing a lot of games, and you know you just try to grow from it and you learn from it. And you know, you look at this young Bulls team, and physically you have to get better, but mentally you have to get better. You have to become a better pro. And those are things that you grow and you develop into. It don't just happen overnight. You have to go through these growing pains. You have to feel like what it's like to be on the road and, you know, have to come together and have to bond together as a team, because that's what's important, is when you're on the road that you learn how to win on the road, but you also learn how to play together and jail and get that camaraderie. And as a young team, watching this team, you see a lot of good things in them. You see the things that they naturally do well out on the basketball court, and that's play good defense. They come out, they play hard every night, and they really get after you in terms of going after loose balls, boxing out. They're a very unselfish team. You see that they like each other. They share the basketball. So there's a lot of good qualities to start building a good basketball team. Now, I played alongside Michael Jordan, and it took a little while for us to get to share the basketball, but it was all part of a process that we had to go through to get to know each other and to trust one another.
Busy with Scottie Pippen. Scottie, what about the wins and losses? Do you tell the guys, I mean, as a player, is it hard to look at the record, you know, sometimes? Right now the Bulls are 3-18. That's hard. Do you forget about the record?
Well, it's hard to forget about the record, Steve, because that's what you're playing for. But you have to set, I think, short-term goals. You know, we know that new going into this season that this is going to be a tough season for them. And in terms of setting short goals, I mean, you know, you look at the calendar and you see who you're playing that month or that week, and you figure out, you're like, who are we going to go out and put our best foot forward against? Like, of these four teams, who can we really beat? Like, how can we go out and come together as a team and try to put together a complete game? And you start from there and you build. And when you learn how to do that, you're going to come away with some wins, even against some good teams.
Scottie Pippen, our guest. And in a game like tonight, Scottie, you're taking on LeBron James, arguably one of the top, you know, 5-10 players that ever played. It's got to be a neat situation, because what an experience this is, right? I mean, these guys, win or lose tonight, Lauri Markkanen, right, Chris Dunn, you're going against maybe one of the greatest players that ever played.
Yeah, and it's tough, because LeBron is not an old player yet. You know, he's still, I don't want to say he's in his prime, but he's still a very good basketball team. He's very smart, and you got to pick your positions with him. Somebody has to man up and take on the challenge tonight, for one, and say that, hey, I'm going to stay in front of LeBron James. Give me some help whenever he get past me or whatever. Give your fouls up, but you got to learn how to stop a great player, and tonight will be a good example as to who's going to step up and take on the challenge, first of all, of guarding LeBron. But what are we going to do from a team standpoint? Because collectively is how you're going to have to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers. It's not going to be one individual stopping LeBron. It has to be a team effort, both defensively and offensively.
Scottie Pippen, our guest. Scottie, Have you been able to see the Bulls rookie Lauri Markkanen? What do you think of this guy?
I love him. You know, I love he's the new hybrid center. You know, he's a guy that can play all over the floor. I've seen him rebounding the ball, power dribbling it out. So there's no limitation to this guy's game, and that's what I really like about him. That, you know, when you look at him from a basketball playing standpoint, you could say that this kid probably played a point guard position. He probably even played a power forward position. He probably played the wing. He's very versatile. He's very comfortable all over the basketball court. And I like what I see in him. I mean, there's nothing but upside and, you know, just keeping the right players around him. I think the guys really enjoy playing with him. They look like they enjoy seeing him grow. You know, guy taking big situations, big shots out on the court. So these are growing situations for them all, especially him.
And finally, Zach LaVine. Bulls fans don't know what to expect. Do you remember Zach LaVine at all from Minnesota? And the best is yet to come is the good news, right?
I love Zach. I was able to scout Zach when he was at UCLA. And, you know, they were trying to hold him back because they didn't want to put this kid on the court. But he's a very explosive player. He's a very exciting player. I think the Bulls got a winner here. I really, truly believe that he will be a superstar in this league, and I'm excited, and I can't wait for him to get on the court.
Scotty, it's great to see you. Wish you all the best. Be safe in L.A., and don't be a stranger.
All right, Steve. Thank you. It's a pleasure always.
Great to see Scotty Pippen back at the United Center. When we come back on Chicago Bulls Live, a visit with Hall of Fame writer Sam Smith from Bulls.com. Stay with us on WLS AM 890.
Don't miss a moment of Rush. Noon to 3 weekday afternoons on WLS AM 890.
And we're back on Chicago Bulls Live here on WLS AM 890. I'm Steve Cashel. Our next guest, the Hall of Fame writer from Bulls.com, Sam Smith. Sam, let's talk about the Chicago Bulls now through the first 24 games. Your thoughts? We're almost, almost a third of the way through. Is this kind of what you expected? Maybe not in the win-loss column, right?
Yeah, yes and no. I certainly didn't expect many more wins. But, you know, the interesting part about that, you know, you don't want to sound cynical about it, but it's sort of the perfect season. Now, I know fans, you know, wouldn't look at it that way, and, you know, a lot of people just look at the standings and all. But, you know, it really is, like I say, almost ideal, and I got to explain that. The record obviously is, you know, really poor, last in the league. But the concept was to, you know, compete, you know, to stay in games, you know, not to, you know, make a mockery of it like the Sixers did for several years. And every time they would get a player that would help them, they would trade him or cut him or something. So they have competed. But in the end, you know, the goal is hopefully to get the best position postseason for a lottery draft pick, and that's really where they are. So, and then the third thing was to develop players, and I think they've done that well, actually, because, you know, when we came into the season, there were questions about, you know, was Chris Dunn a bust? You know, was Markkanen, you know, just another guy who's going to stand outside and shoot jump shots like sort of Channing Frye? You know, and both of them established themselves, if not, you know, star, you know, sort of star talent, but, you know, certainly NBA quality starting players. And that's, you know, that's what you need to build a team. So going into the season, you know, if you get to this point, a third or a quarter of the way through, you know, that you've got two guys that you can count on to say, hey, you know, we want to grow with these two guys. And they're going to be good enough to both have, you know, not that they will, but both have potential to be all-stars. And at the same time along the way, you know, we're not giving up. We're playing hard. You know, I think the recent run was something like 5 or 6 games. They lost by a total of like 16 points. You know, back-to-back 1-point losses, a 2-point loss. Very, you know, very disappointing. Fred, you can see, you know, disappointed. The players disappointed, but that's good. You know, it shows they care and shows they're trying.
and shows, you know, they're entertaining to their level of ability. And but, you know, they're also playing a lot of guys who are down the road, not going to be with the team. So, you know, in a perverse way, you look at the record and say, well, you know, the record's poor, but yet the season has actually gone, you know, according to sort of blueprint, you know, pretty well. I mean, nobody really can say that because what your record is, and your record's poor, so you're poor. But it's really a pretty good, you know, first part of the season for development, for being in postseason position, and for playing competitive games.
Sam Smith, our guest from Bulls.com. I'm Steve Cashel. This is Chicago Bulls Live here on this Saturday night. Sam, fans are already asking me, who won the trade for Jimmy Butler? Was it the T-Wolves for getting Butler, or was it the Bulls for getting Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, Lauri Markkanen? And I'm saying right now the Bulls, even though LaVine hasn't played, you got three guys that are going to be starters here for a long time. Do you agree?
Well, the big thing is, and it always happens that way when, you know, you trade an all-star, which Jimmy was, legitimate all-star, you know, made all NBA, you know, fabulous personal development. You know, you got to give a lot of credit to Jimmy for coming from the 30th pick and a sort of a defensive specialist to make himself the player he did. So the notion was, after that trade in the summer, that the Bulls, you know, were taken, they lost the trade. So I think it's most fair to say that they didn't lose the trade. And not to say, you know, you win, you know, that's sort of an arbitrary, you know, judgment. You know, Minnesota's doing a lot better. They look like a playoff team, you know, so they got what they needed. But, you know, in that realm, the Bulls got potentially, and like I say, I talked about, you know, Markkanen, who came in that trade, and Dunn, who came in that trade. But the best player, presumably from that trade, is supposed to be and should be Zach LaVine, who hasn't played. And probably, you know, we won't see him until next month in January. So if you can get three legitimate starters that you plan to go forward with out of any trade, it's a fabulous trade for the Bulls. I wouldn't diminish it and say, well, the Timberwolves lost it, because the Timberwolves got much better. They hadn't made the playoffs, I think, in something like 14 years. They look like a good playoff team. They're well-rounded. And so, you know, from their standpoint, it has to be a positive. But I think from the Bulls standpoint, it moves up from, you know, sort of the outside perspective that they got taken advantage of, they were losers, to, you know, this could be a really big win going forward. And so I think, you know, you don't want to go to the cliche win-win, but I think it really was, you know, and that's what any trade's about. Minnesota didn't have the same values the Bulls did. Minnesota had just missed the playoffs for, like I say, more than a decade. So it was about short term for them. We got to do something now. And they did the right thing. And because that's what it's about, rather than, you know, I saw, you know, potentially with Dunn and LaVine and the number seven pick and Towns and Wiggins, you know, you had potentially five great young players, but, you know, how many more years can you ask fans to be patient? So they did that, but I think from the Bulls' standpoint, it's projecting as a really good deal.
Sam Smith is our guest, Bulls.com. I'm Steve Cashel with Chicago Bulls Live. Before we get to the NBA, my final question about the Bulls in this segment, Sam. As you mentioned in your first answer, so many close losses. What's the key to winning those games? Is it just Fred Hoiberg and the coaching staff showing film the next day and saying, you know, here's the mistakes we made? Or do they really need a closer? Or does that just get better with time? How do you win those close games on a rebuilding team?
You put Zach LaVine out there.
Yeah.
And that gives you a chance to win the game. Look, it's easy to pick over at the end and say, well, you know, if you'd have called this timeout and then if you'd have run this screen over there. Look, you know, the players you have now, you know, I don't want to be unfair, but none of them basically have ever been NBA starters. None of them are set up to be in that position. It's like when Derrick Rose was in his prime with the Bulls, you know, in 2011, 10, 11, 12. you know, there might be a stretch in the third quarter where nobody can make a shot. So you just turn it over to him five or six or seven times, and he scores five baskets. You know, we saw it with Michael, you know, before that. And if you don't have that kind of player on your team, you're going to have those droughts when, you know, who are you going to – no offense, but not a single guy on that team is really a self – on the Bulls right now is really a self-creator that's saying, get out of the way, I'll make a play. And that's why the leading scorer is like averaging 14 points. I mean, you know, that's just the way it's built. It will end up toward the right way because, you know, it'll put the Bulls in position to, you know, be stronger in the lottery. So you just got to, you know, ride through this sort of group effort at this point. But to win those games, you look at all the leading scorers, and those are the best teams because the leading scorers all and even we saw it, you know, with Indiana the other day. You know, they turned it over to Oladipo at the end, who's emerged, you know, as a legitimate closer. He probably was in Oklahoma City, but Westbrook never gave him the ball and let him be. And, you know, he had the ball every possession down the stretch, like 10 or 12 possessions in a row. And the Bulls don't have that guy. And so, you know, you can split points and look and say, well, you know, if Valentine had done this or if, you know, Dunn had done that or Lopez or Poor, that's just not fair to anybody. Fred's run good plays. I think Fred's done, you know, it sort of sounds funny, but I think he's done a fabulous job this season because these guys have continued to compete. He's had a very positive, upbeat attitude. And this wasn't the way it was in the rebuilding in the early 2000s. You know, that coach didn't like young players. He was critical. Guys were giving up because he was, you know, abusing them. And that doesn't exist now. You know, Fred's been upbeat. The players have been positive. They've been, you know, taking tough losses and coming back. And that's what you want from this, you know, situation. I think that's why Brett Brown has survived that thing in Philadelphia to, you know, be with a better team now. Because when management was doing what it was doing, he had those players still trying to compete. And I see that with the Bulls as well. But look, you just need that kind of player. And you just go down the leading scorers in the league and what team they on. Every leading scorer is on a good team. And that's just the nature of the NBA. You got to have a guy like that. And the Bulls may have a guy like that in LaVine, but he's not playing yet.
Sam Smith is a Hall of Fame writer. You find his work on Bulls.com. He's my guest right now on Chicago Bulls Live. Sam, I got two, 3 more minutes to talk about the NBA. First of all, a Celtics lose Gordon Hayward, still number one in the East behind Kyrie Irving, who's having an amazing year. Traded for Isaiah Thomas. I'm still stunned by that trade, but are you surprised by the Celtics' success so far?
I am, especially after, after losing Hayward, you know, because they gave up a couple of really good players. And I frankly thought they would not necessarily take a huge step back, but somewhat because Crowder and Avery Bradley were their best defensive players on the team. And, Thomas, I've never been a big fan of. I know he scored a lot, but he takes a lot of guys out of the game because of the way he plays, very selfish and, you know, controls the ball over dribbles. You know, but Kyrie Irving, and again, he surprised a lot of people, too, because he got a lot of criticism, you know, the notion of, you know, I'm going to leave Cleveland and, you know, how automatic chance to get into the finals. It sounded selfish, but, you know, he's really demonstrated more breadth to his game. The team competes really hard, and, you know, the coach gotten a lot of credit, Brad Stevens. But, you know, and he deserves so. And those rookies have, you know, those young players have played well. So they've been, and especially they're reckoning on the road, something like 10-2 or something. So, you know, they've been legit. And so I think they are one of the big surprise teams in the league.
Sam, what about Derrick Rose? It's been an interesting saga, hasn't it? Boy, people didn't know a few days ago if he was going to be back with the Cavaliers. Now he says he might need surgery with his ankle. We feel for the guy, though, right?
Well, you can see why Derrick was sort of going through that. We didn't know, you know, it was portrayed as just another sprained ankle. Well, it's not. It was a situation where bone spurs, he might need surgery again. So then the whole summer of getting rehabbed and being in position to start the season is lost again because he's, you know, got to start over with that whole, you know, rehab and training. So, you know, you can see where somebody's questioning after, you know, what's now almost a decade, you know, 9 or 10 years in the league. And that's a that's more than a career. I mean, what's the average, you know, years in the NBA is 4 or 5 years. So you can see why he was questioning. But I'm glad to see Derek give it another try. And things change quickly. You know, if he doesn't have to have the surgery, if he can get through rehab and get to the finals, and, you know, on some level, and if they get to the finals, you know, it looks like them in Boston. But all of a sudden, if you're in the finals making big plays, you know, which he can still do. I mean, we saw him last year in New York. He's still fast. He can still beat guys to the basket. He's still incredibly fast up the court. You know, a lot of stuff gets forgotten about all of a sudden if you get into the playoffs and start making big plays. So, you know, I wouldn't write him off quite yet.
Sam Smith from Bulls.com, author of a new book called Hard Labor. Great holiday gift idea. Sam, thanks for joining us.
All right, Steve, thanks.
All righty. That will do it for this edition of Chicago Bulls Live. Many thanks to our executive producer, Dave Zaslowski, and our producer, Jonathan Bregman. For Chuck Swirsky, I'm Steve Cashel.